We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Your podcast home of the Utah State Aggies. This is another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast with Scott Girard from Learfield IMG College.
Okay, well, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Media days, good day for our kids. Excited to get back to camp and get a little walkthrough stuff today and get started tomorrow morning with officially the kickoff of camp after a few meetings. Have a nice dinner tonight. We're excited to be back. Kids are excited. You know, a lot of them had a week off if they didn't have summer school still. So a little unique the first week of camp. We're still in summer school for a number of kids. So we'll practice in the afternoon on the grass. And we'll go through that until summer school's over. And then we'll transfer back from sometimes in the stadium, sometimes on the grass as we go. But it's good to get the kids back. We're pretty healthy right now. Feel like we're in a good spot. The key is to continue to learn, stay healthy, work extremely hard, and build this team on and off the field as we go through camp. So that's where we sit, and I'll take your questions.
Well, Gary, you've obviously been asked a similar question to this before, but I mean, how different is the atmosphere, the environment here at Utah State than it was for your first fall camp back in 2009?
Well, 2009, that was a lot of rodeos ago. So, it's markedly different for myself, for the staff. If you just look at our staff, we'll talk about the kids in just a second about that, which they're the most important part of it. But this is an experienced staff, so they understand. You know, college football has changed dramatically with camp since then also. There's no more two-a-days, which I believe is a positive thing. And, I think structurally we're in a much better place to take care of our kids from a nutritional standpoint, from a training room standpoint. And when I say that, I mean just the people, the facilities, the number of people. Same thing within the weight room. So all those areas, there's been, huge upgrades in a positive way. And again, I don't say that from, I love Dale. Dale knows that. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying from a standpoint of, the Mountain West has really helped us progress as a athletic department as a whole, which puts the kids in a good spot. So that's a good thing. This is a team that's expected to come in and play well. They expect that. They understand their deficiencies, and they expect that they've made strides on those deficiencies. We've gone through summer, and we've gone through winter, and we've gone through spring ball. So we'll see how we've done in those areas as we go through camp. I would say one thing that's different about this camp, especially from the past, is this will be an extremely competitive camp. there's a lot of kids on this football team that want to strap that starter tag next to their name, and excited to compete. So that'll be fun to watch. It'll be great to get the D lineman back, obviously, in spring ball. A big difference there is we have bodies now, which we had so many kids recovering from nagging injuries or surgery or what have you. We'll get all those guys back because I expect that to be a true powerful part of this football team. So, and then just overall, it's Utah State has made tremendous strides since our first year here, way back when. And there's so many positive things for these kids. And like I say, and I'm going to continue saying it, this is we don't have Power 5 next to our name, next to our conference tag, but this is a Power 5 football program as far as the way these student athletes are treated. And that's highly important to me.
Let me ask you, from your perspective now, your thoughts on being in the Mountain West as a coach compared to the WAC. Is this a big upgrade, or do you think the conference is better?
Well, let's look at that last year. You know, you look at San Jose, La Tech, you look at us. I mean, there was some, those were all ranked teams, and I think all had double-digit wins, if I'm not mistaken. So there were some tremendous teams back then. There's some tremendous teams now within the Mountain West Conference. So I look at the, you know, probably from top to bottom, I would say the Mountain West is more competitive, especially where our schedule is this year. I mean, you're playing against some tremendous football teams. Obviously, the two teams that played in the championship last year. You look at the games last year with Colorado State. You look at the game with Wyoming. You look at the game with Air Force. I mean, we're in for some extreme battles. You throw San Diego State in the mix on that, who is always a very, you know, the very, very tough-minded football team with Coach Long, you know, steering the ship in that situation there. So from top to bottom, I would say that the Mountain West is a tougher conference, but the top of the top is probably much the same as it was when we were in the WAC.
Any news on last-minute additions or walk-ons that got scholarships recently this summer? Or
no, not really. We've kind of flip-flop that a little bit. We'll make those. We'll have some walk-on announcements as we come through time. We're not going to make it be a big song and dance as we go through it, but I think those kids will need to be I want the team to know first as we go through that process. We'll let you guys know when we get to that spot, but I want to make sure the team knows that first. As far as late additions, we really had just about a half a dozen newcomers that are here today for the first time. They'll be on the roster, and you know, our total number of kids in the program, as you know, is a large number of new kids in the program, but almost all of them were here for the summer. But you know, five or six new guys were in there today.
Besides late additions, you've had some late subtractions.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys that maybe you were thinking would be here, but there aren't. You can talk a little bit about some of those guys that you were hoping you could have on your roster, but they're not here now.
Well, the biggest thing for me there is we're just going to talk about the guys we have. Our education process with the young men, if they decide to be here and not want to be here, it's important to me that, you know, this is your school. And if you decide that it's not your school in that situation, then you make that decision. We always educate. We communicate. We don't shut a kid out of communication when we get in those situations and we have discussions. But the fact that we're excited about the young men we have here, and I know the young men that are in that room right now going through their team meeting are excited to be part of it, and they're not worried about the guys that aren't in that room with them.
Can you talk about, as you studied Jordan Love, watching film and things, did your feeling change about him much? And then you worked with him in spring and you saw what was going on. What can you tell us about him?
Well, from afar at the beginning was obviously really just watching TV and watching him play. And but as you get to be around Jordan, say it time and time again, he is just such a tremendous young man and such a great captain and a great leader. And it's always very even with him. He's consistent when he leaves the building. He's consistent throughout every day of the week. Doesn't seem to be phased. But his drive, from a football standpoint, his drive to really get better is very noticeable. You know, he wants to learn. He's been with some great coaches. I believe he's with some great coaches now, and I think his relationship with Coach Sanford is special, and it will continue to grow and develop, and we need to make sure we continue to grow and develop the offense around him as a whole and get the best players on the field. We owe that to him, and his football team knows that, you know, he is a captain, he is our leader, and he's our leader on the offensive side of the ball. But he's just been, I've never seen him, you know, really have a bad day, and we've talked about the future. It's one thing we have not hidden from with Jordan is we've talked about let's get to January and then see what happens and let's play great and get you in a position to be able to make a decision. And I think that's something that we needed to talk about. And this kid every day gets hit by agents. He gets beat up by a bunch of people as far as that stuff goes. And I don't agree with it, but I can't stop it. So we needed to discuss it, and we did. And he's very level-headed, and I believe he'll handle that. Like a student, athlete, professional, which is exactly what that young man is. And he'll work every day to be great, and he will give you all he's got to Aggie Nation.
Can I ask you, as a person, mm-hmm. does he compare to Chucky? How, when you had Chucky here?
Different types of leadership, but both very good leaders. So when I say that, you know, Chucky was very excitable, you know, might do a backflip at any moment if he completed a 5-yard hitch. You know, I mean, it did. Chucky was very emotional that way, which is much more like me. So, you know, he is an excitable guy, and Jordan is much more just, you know, stays even. Now, don't trust me. He gets excited and he loves to make the plays and do the things that he does. But he's just he's not as he lives with his own personality, which is fantastic, and I don't want that to change in any way, shape, or form. And but as far as a leader on the team and someone that the team looks up to, you know, very much in the same, they know that the power of a quarterback, which we all know, but we also know the power of a quality quarterback that's a true leader, which is very special to have.
Can you talk about Coach Rivero joining the staff now? Obviously, his coaching resume in high school, Logan, speaks for itself. What did you see in him that made you feel confident to bring him on the offensive analysis?
Well, I've spent, you know, my kids played for Coach Fab, obviously, at Logan High. Had great respect for his teams, had great respect for the way so many of the young men that we recruited over the years, you know, from Cache Valley as a whole, played at Logan. And they came in here and they were really prepared for a college experience. You know, they had been in a system that was demanding, that the kids were asked to do a lot. And that really caught my attention. And then as I got to know Fav and he went through time and he retired, you know, you can only play golf so many days a week, right? You got to have something to do. His wife called me and said, please kick him out of the house, please. But in all honesty, he's a tremendous football knowledge. He doesn't have an ego. He's not coming here with any vision other than he's excited to be an analyst and, you know, help Coach Sanford and the offensive staff out. He is a great mind, and when you have a great mind that you can add to your staff, that I know will make us better. It's just a huge, huge plus for us as a whole, as a football staff, a football team, and, you know, we're all lucky to have him. Now, he's very limited as far as, you know, coaching. He can't coach anybody, but he can put us in a position to stay ahead of opponents, and he can put us in a position to understand our opponents even more with working with the staff. So it'll be a big positive for us.
Coach, with Jordan Love and Gerald Bright, a couple other mainstays from last year's team, obviously on this roster this year, how much does having guys like that kind of jumpstart chemistry and kind of continuity at the start of camp?
Well, it's big. You know, we'll start that tonight with some of those young men being able to address the camp, the whole team during camp at different times. And we had a leadership retreat a couple weeks ago now, and it was a tremendous opportunity for our captains and our leadership committee to kind of get together and set team goals. They were able to spend some time with Doc Gordon, which is invaluable for us as a football team, and the kids have understand they need to set their goals. It's not our goals as coaches. It's not strength room goals. It's not training room goals. It's not video guys' goals. It's not. It's the football team's goals, and it's the job of the leadership committee and the captains to, you know, hold the team accountable to that as well as ours. But it's extremely important when a team is held accountable by its leaders. That's very powerful, and you know. Bright's been great at that. Jordan's been great at that. I think our captains are good. Woody is a tremendous leader in his own way. You know, Everly is a tremendous leader through the special teams, you know, in his own way. So it's great to see those guys, you know, continue to grow and develop. And Tipa has done a great job as another captain, growing and developing into being a team leader when he leaves this facility. He's always been very good when he's been in the facility, in the weight room, around his team, but when he leaves the facility, he's become a much better leader, which is expected out of him.
Which, positional battles are you really looking forward to personally unfolding this camp?
Well, the ones we've been talking about for a long time, the offensive line is huge. You know, those, I say it again, we walked in here in January, evaluated this group very closely and looked at the offensive line and felt like that there were some young men that could replace those four starters and put us in a place to win football games. So we put all our chips in January in that situation. And they've worked hard. They've gained weight. They've battled. I'm proud of them on the field, off the field, in the classroom. So we're going to see exactly how far they've come as we continue to go when we get our offense, or excuse me, our defensive lineman back. So you're going to see where they're at, because I believe our defensive line will be very good, and I expect them to be. So that offensive line will be challenged, and we'll see where they sit. And then the wide receiver position, that is key for this football team, and that is key for Jordan. It's key for the offense to be able to function at a high level. And when you lose 75%+ of your production at the wide receiver position, it needs to, obviously step up and go. We've added numbers there. We've added new faces there. And that will be extremely competitive for those spots also. And we have some very good players in this program that have had some great off seasons and some great summers that, you know, are expected to come in and play at a high level by themselves and by us. So I believe we're going to be good there. But, what we believe right now, we got to see. Those are the really two on the offensive side of the ball. On the defense, it's, Woody is in a great position. He's a tremendous player. And who's going to be next to him? Is it going to be Kevin? Is it going to be Noah? Is Cash going to come down there and play some? Who's going to come in that spot at the other linebacker side and be that guy next to Woody, or the couple guys that are next to Woody that can really, help us play a high level of defense? And then as a whole, in the defensive backfield, there's a lot of competition. At safety, yes. At nickel, yes. At corner, yes. And there's going to be a little bit of moving of the chess pieces there to see where those young men fit. And those kids are all ready to compete. I went out to lunch today with Grayson, and he's extremely excited. And he just shared with me how fired up that back end is, ready to jump out and go play football and get involved in the defense and this team battle that we're going to go against each other with the next few weeks in camp against the wide receivers. So they're ready to go. But those are the key ones as we go through, a couple on offense, a couple on defense. I feel great about the specialists. Great about them. Like I said, they'll win us games. I believe that.
It seems like you got a wealth of guys at defensive end, too.
Yeah.
How do you manage that rotation and who gets some of those roles? Or do you convert guys to different positions?
Well, we want to have 8 guys on the defensive line that play a lot. That's our goal. So we want to get to 2 deep. And if we can get to that point, we'll be very, very happy. If we get to 7, we'll be happy. Specifically, the defensive end spot, Justice and Teeper are the starters right now. And Justice has earned that spot. He earned it through spring. He earned it through work ethic. He earned it through summer. And, the other two guys are going to step up and play in that spot. It's going to be, again, a battle in camp to see who takes those other two spots. And it'll be very competitive, like you said. There's a number of kids. So, but the key is to find that mix of those best 8 guys, because we would love to rotate those guys, 60-40, 50-50. We really would. I think it's important to not just play those guys till the starters get tired and the other guys come in after 6 snaps. It's not that way. It's a rotation through series and keeping those kids fresh. As much as we're asking them to pass rush and as hard as we're asking them to play, it's impossible to say, go play, 75 snaps. Can't do it. I don't think.
So with David Woodward, you've coached a lot of good linebackers in your time. How does David Woodward kind of compare to some of the past, linebackers at Utah State or even other places you've coached at?
Yeah, the thing that David has that all of those linebackers have had is incredible instincts, things that you just don't coach. Their first initial read, their first initial step. David can also, like all those guys that have been with him in the past, can be physical as needed, but he can be very squirmy and hard to find and hard to catch in there. And that's what all of those other great linebackers have been. Bobby was like that. The Borden kid at Wisconsin was like that. Very difficult to deal with and find and catch. The two young men last year, Chase and Cody at Utah, were much like that also. They had tremendous speed on the field, strength as needed, and very physical and aggressive tacklers. You don't see guys get a lot of extra yardage when they tackle. And that is how David plays his game. I think the mental side of his game, as he's adjusted to this scheme, he understands that we will highlight him. He doesn't just accept that, he loves that. And so now, blitzer. We want him to be able to make some plays when behind the other side of the line of scrimmage when we're given the opportunity. There's times we're going to play some fronts that are designed to protect him and let those defensive linemen eat up the blocks. And I never coach a defensive lineman to say, hey, you're block eaters right now. I never will. But at times we do put them in a position to keep David clean and let him run and not necessarily assign him a gap. And so he's a special linebacker when you start doing those type of things in a defensive scheme.
At the running back position, yeah, Gerald Bright obviously comes back. Who do you see following up, or is there a depth chart that starts with Gerald Bright?
Yeah, Gerald's a starter, without a doubt, well-deserved. And if you see him right now, you know, he's put on weight. That was a goal of his, to get a little bigger, get a little stronger. He feels great. You know, he's such a threat receiving also. Let's not forget he was a receiver at some point, so he has tremendous hands. He's worked on his deficiencies as far as learning how to block in his position or what he's doing. We don't ask him to be a killer in blocking, and we're not going to take on a 240-pound linebacker and stone him on the line of scrimmage when he has a six-yard run at us. But he's worked very hard at developing the techniques and the fundamentals with Coach Collins to become a good blocker, and that's something he'll continue to work on. You know, through the depth at that position, Enoch has done a great job. Enoch came in as a mid-year transfer, high school kid, you know, just fish out of water a little bit at the beginning, right? Everything was coming real fast out of him, drinking out of a fire hose, but he handled spring ball very well, handed the ball off to him a ton. I mean, I remember the one scrimmage we handed the ball off to him like 10 times in a row, and I don't think he could even walk anymore by the time he got done with the series. But, you know, never batted an eye. I know his dad played for me a long time ago, so I know the toughness that he comes from in his family, so he's a tremendous fit for us. He's gained weight. He's got bigger, faster, stronger. He'll be in the mix. You know, and he don't want to hear the word red shirt. That doesn't work in his mind, so he's ready to compete and go. Jalen Warren has been here all summer, done a nice job. He's lost the weight we've asked him to lose. We had a week off now, so I haven't seen him in a week, so I hope that Polynesian blood doesn't kick in too deep. too much rice as he went home for the weekend, so I'm sure his dad handled that for him and didn't let that happen. So we get his weight where it is. We expect him to be a very talented running back. And then Riley, obviously, you know, he's here for a reason. You know, we brought all three of those transfers that we brought in, and Riley's here for the reason to come in and make us better at the running back position. He's trained extremely hard. He's done a nice job. He looks great. So, you know, we want to get three. We'd love to have three. We believe that's when we're at our best as a staff. I think the kids all believe that and understand that that is best for them. And so, you know, we got four right now that we're taking a long, hard look at and see, may the best three come out on top and get the reps.
One more question.
It seems like building a defense has changed so much over even the last couple of years. Do you and Coach Anna just build this defense to play against the spread, and maybe the one team is Air Force, basically, and that doesn't run the spread?
It's a great question. And we start with the spread. And we sit in meetings and talk about all the time. I mean, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, you sat back and you started with two backs in the backfield, quarterback under center, and an anchor tight end, right? And that's where you started, and what we call, you know, 43 package. And you don't start there anymore. You start with the 11 personnel. You start with even the four wide sets, and you build your defense from there. Now, we will package, and I think it's important for us to package. You know, we don't have great depth at the corner position. We're okay, but we don't have great depth, so it's important that we, you know, put the defensive schemes at times to allow the kids to not practice with three and four corners on the field at a time. So we'll have probably three packages that we've got planned right now to play with, and then obviously the Air Force package is one of its own. So, but I suspect we'll get in some bigger personnel groupings at Colorado State. I suspect that at Wyoming. I know Coach Long said he's going to, you know, be a spread team, but I have a hard time believing that they're not going to line up and throw some tight ends in there at times. So I'm sure we'll get a little bit bigger in that game, that four settings. So, yeah, we'll be. This league has different schemes and different looks. So, but yes, it all starts with the spread, which is our nickel package, and then we kind of build it to the bigger groups as we go through, and we'll have a start tomorrow. We'll start with two defensive packages instead of just one.
Yeah, so just starting off, I mean, I'm excited to start camp, finally get working. Summer workouts and conditioning has been good. Grinding with the guys, got some new faces in. Got to get some chemistry down with them so far. Just throwing and stuff like that. But, I mean, once camp starts, that's when all the fun's going to start. Getting to actually play with them. So I'm excited. Everyone's excited. Coach A's here, new coaching staff. And we're excited to get working with them and see, just continue the transition on. So, like I said, just can't wait for camp to start. So,
your off season hasn't, you really probably haven't stopped a whole lot when you, all the things that you've done. Have you enjoyed that? Do you feel like that's helped you to be constantly on football? You know what I mean, or all that?
Oh yeah, I mean every off season is pretty much the same. Just all the stuff we do, and I enjoy it a lot. Just really coming in, getting all the new faces in here, and trying to teach them the playbook, teach them how we do it, and then just obviously just getting to throw with them and stuff like that. So I mean, I enjoy the off season. I think it's fun. Time to get better.
But with even going like to the Peyton camps and the Manning camps and things like that, doing that stuff, that was different. And has that changed it to how you feel prepared towards this season or anything?
Oh yeah, I mean that stuff was great. Going to the Manning Pass Academy, that was great. And but no, it hasn't really changed anything. I mean, I learned some stuff from them, from Peyton and Eli, just on how they train in the off season with the receivers and watch film and stuff like that. So I'm definitely gonna add some of that stuff into my game. But other than that, it stayed the same.
So this season you're going to be throwing to almost an entirely new group of pass catchers. Just have a couple returning, but what have you seen so far with this new group of guys you've been throwing to?
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, it's a different group, that's for sure. I mean, last year I'd say they're more not as much speed, more big bodies, just trying to put the ball on them and stuff like that. But I think this year that's what would be different. I think we got more speed out there, just different guys I'm throwing to. So I'm excited to just get to working with them and see how it's going to be.
How much do you anticipate the style, you know, with Gary and the new staff coming in, how much do you anticipate the style of play changing from last year versus, or this year versus last year?
Yeah, so, I mean, offensively, we're running the same thing. So, same offense, stuff like that. Obviously, some plays here and there will change, and just the way we read plays. But for the most part, it stayed the same, and that's what's helped a lot. Because usually with new coaches coming in, you got to learn a whole new offense, a whole new scheme, stuff like that. But it's made it easy just knowing that we're running the same plays.
They talked about last year, the defense always talked about last year, how great it was in practice because the offense was, you know, just so talented and this practice was so hard, harder than the games. Now this year you have a few more defensive returning stars and new offense. Can you talk about what the defense can bring you guys during practice?
Oh, they bring a lot during practice. I mean, I say it all the time. I feel like we're going against the best defense we're going to see all year in practice every day. So, I mean, it's making both of us better, the offense and the defense, better each day, just competing against each other. So, I mean, I love going against them in practice. I think it just makes us better every day.
What did you see in spring? Did you see enough of the offensive line guys with how they were doing? And I'm sure it seems like they can play multiple positions, some of the guys, and they're trying to identify, I'm sure, 5 to 7 guys who can mm-hmm. play. Do you have any worries, fears? Or are you very confident about the group of guys coming back there, even though there's really not a lot of starters?
No, yeah, I mean, just going off the spring, I felt really confident what this young group's done. I mean, we still haven't figured out the first 5 that's going to be starting, but I mean, that's what camp's for us. We're going to figure that out. But I feel really confident. I feel like there'll be no drop off. I mean, they're young, they haven't played too many games, but I'm excited to be behind them. I think that they'll do just fine.
Because last year you would have looked in huddle, or well, you didn't huddle much, yeah. But sideline, whatever. You'd look at a bunch of experienced guys mm-hmm. who've done it, and you're kind of the guy who maybe hadn't played as much mm-hmm. as them. Now they're all going to be looking at you like, yeah. Hey, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah, it's definitely a little different. I mean, like you said, they're all looking at me. As of last year, I mean, they were probably still looking at me, but I mean, I had dudes have been playing, and they knew what they were doing. So that's the main thing. We just got to get guys ready to play, and I think they're already ready from spring, and we're just going to continue that. Can't.
Going along with that, it's kind of a cliche with young offensive lines that the quarterback has to run more. You haven't run a lot in your career. Do you expect to run more this year or no?
No, I think, I mean, my game will be the same as last year. I mean, running when I need to. I mean, that's just how our offense is. I mean, we get the ball out quick. So it's not like I'm just sitting back there in the pocket waiting to get hit. But, I mean, I don't think there'll be any running around. I think they'll protect me just fine. So.
You mentioned trying to improve parts of your game, with the Manning Academy and learning some things. What part of your game this offseason have you tried to work on the most, or like what parts of your game do you feel like need improving? Or
I mean, the main part I think I always need to improve is just knowledge of the game, knowledge of defenses, and what teams are doing against us. And that just comes with just watching film, going back and watching tape from last year, seeing what defenses did, seeing how I could just improve on every play. And the one thing I've tried to focus on is just trying to take away negative plays like interceptions, just bad passes, bad reads, stuff like that. But that just comes from watching film and trying to get better.
With that, Peyton Manning is a film hog. That's all he seems to be doing is just sitting in the film room. What can you take away from him, or did you learn anything from him about being able to watch film, about learning how to look for certain things defensively?
Yeah, so when we were out there, I mean, we were asking him questions about how he watches film, and one thing I thought was interesting is he watches every game of that team that he's about to play. No matter how, like, they played 14 games, he'll watch every game. All 14, every play. So he said he doesn't want to ever be surprised with like a blitz that he hasn't seen or something like that. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Because a lot of times, you'll watch like two or three games, just get the basis of what they're doing, and then watch cut-ups and stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I tried to do it in my game, but it's hard to watch every game, every play. So we'll see.
When the schedule came out, what was your reaction as far as, the types of teams you're going to be playing throughout the season?
Yeah, I'm excited about this schedule. We got a tough schedule. It's a little bit different than last year. Playing some different teams in the Mountain West, of course. And I'm excited to play those games. Being from California, we go back to Cali, play San Diego State and Fresno State. So I'm excited about those. And then, of course, LSU, Wake Forest, BYU, some tough non-conference games. So, I'm excited for this season.
I don't know when the last time Utah State's beaten BYU 3 years in a row, if they ever have. What would it mean to you to be able to accomplish that feat?
Oh, yeah, that'd mean a lot. I think someone was trying to tell me it was like the 60s or something like that they did it. But that'd mean a lot. Just going there and beating 3 times in a row, it'd mean a lot. That's all I can say about that.
With you coming back and obviously Gerald Bright, David Woodward, and a couple of the others who were returners from last year, how much can kind of that continuity help jumpstart the start of camp?
Oh, it could help a lot. We've been there, we've done it. We know how camp should be run and stuff like that. So I think as long as like the leaders of the team are pushing it to keep it the way it's been, I feel like there'll be no change in how practices ran and stuff like that. So
you got to work with Chucky last year a little bit, and I asked Gary, he coached Chucky earlier. Do you feel kind of like him? Do you feel like what he went through? Did you guys talk a little bit about what he went through before with what you did? What did you learn from him?
Yeah, I learned a lot from Chucky. If you look at it, we're kind of like in similar situations. Just how our career's gone here. I learned a lot from Chucky just having him here, having him on the sideline with us. So that helped out a lot. But I get the comparisons all the time to how much like people say I look like Chucky, stuff like that, but no, it's fun. He's a great quarterback, and I learned a lot from him when he was here. So
I think you're taller.
Yeah, I probably got him beating that a little bit faster too.
Coach mentioned that I guess you guys have like some sort of leadership council. What effect does having something formal like that do to a team?
Yeah, we got our leadership committee, and I think it just, anything that happens within the team that, like decisions that need to be made, you can just go look for the leadership committee and talk to them, and we'll figure it out. So I think it's good to have a leadership committee on your team. Just anything that happens within the team, you can take to the leadership committee, and we'll have a solution for it. So.
Did you have one last year?
Yeah, we had a leadership committee. We've had one ever since I've been here. So.
Can you just put into words a little bit what this is like to be talked about? They put a Heisman campaign together for you, player of the year, all these things. We thought you were good last year before it started, but what can you put into words what this is like going into this year?
Yeah, it's crazy, just all the stuff, all the hype and stuff like that. I enjoy it. It's just, at the end of the day, the way I look at it, it's just all fun stuff. And it's all on the side. Obviously you got to put the team's goals, stuff like that, on one side, and then all this other fun stuff. It's good to look at and good to see, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter unless you do what you need to do with the team. So that's the way I look at it.
Last year, as you were coming into camp, you're still just a sophomore, and you accomplished a lot of great things, obviously. This season, there's a lot more maybe put on your shoulders than were last year. How do you feel like you're able to handle that, and what do you think you can bring to this fall camp compared to what you were able to bring last year at the same time?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I try not to put too much like on my shoulder. I know what I got to do to get the job done for this team, so I don't try to put too much like stress or any extra pressure on that. I just think about it as if I go and get the job done, do what I got to do, then we'll be just fine. So I try not to put too much pressure on myself in areas like that.
And what's your relationship been so far with Coach Sanford as he's running the offense?
Oh, it's been good. I mean, Coach Sanford, I mean, he's a great coach. He brings a lot of juice to practice every day and energy, and it helps. You can see it just helps the team just when you got that juice every day, because sometimes everybody's a little tired, stuff like that, don't want to practice. But when you got coaches bringing that juice, it just helps out a lot. But, I mean, he's been a great coach, just trying to help me break down defenses better and stuff like that so far. And I'm just excited to keep working with him.
Time to head up to Logan, chat with the defensive coordinator at Utah State, Justin Enna, joining us on the Sprint special guest line. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Good. How are you guys doing? Scotty Hans, good to hear from you guys.
Yeah, good to hear from you as well. You've been doing this for a while. Do you still get butterflies at the beginning of camp?
You know, it's always exciting being here, especially first year up here with Logan, with Coach Anderson. It's a great place. Great place to coach football, great place to play football, and butterflies are still there.
Putting on that de-coordinating coat, Coach, just talk about some of the experience you've had in that and how game call ready are you?
You know what? I was a de-coordinator at Southern Utah for the last 4 years of my six-year stint there, and then also at Weber State for 1 year and 14. So I feel pretty good about it. I really do. And then also just being with Coach Scally up there at Utah the last 4 years, learned a lot from him, the way he does things, and also in 15 with Coach Pease. So, and then Coach Anderson, of course, was the D coordinator before head coach. So a lot of support here and there, and then also just learned a lot from a lot of great coaches. So I'm excited.
This team was so good at forcing turnovers last year, led the country in interceptions, I think 32 turnovers overall on the year. Do you have that same kind of ball-hawking personnel on this year's team?
We do, and that's the greatest thing about it is just when it's all said and done, it's relentless pursuit, tracking the ball. Our back end, I'm very excited about, like you said, ball hawking, getting where they need to be, but also just ripping and stripping that ball out as much as we can. But it really starts with pursuit and everybody just busting their butt, doing their 111s and getting to the ball.
I was going to say, what is the thing that you stress the most to force turnovers? Because we've seen Utah defenses that were rich in turnovers, and then we've seen Utah defenses that were rich in defense but lean in turnovers.
Yeah. And you know what? It's kind of you don't want those lean years. And when I was there the last 4 years, didn't seem like we had too many lean years. But I think when it all comes down to it, it's getting DBs that have good ball skills. First of all, that's one thing that I learned from Coach Scally. He's like, hey, when you recruit, you want to have a kid that knows how to play wide receiver and get that ball, that can make that takeaway, make that turnover when it most counts. And then it's going to be raking at that ball, stripping at that ball, getting that ball out as much as possible. Guys punching that second or third guy, just doing all they can to rip that ball out. But in the back end, it's recruiting good athletes that have good ball skills too.
I know that you look at those linebackers, and we look at a guy like David Woodward. He's a stud. What's that competition going to be like at that other linebacker spot next to him?
There's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot right now. We've got some good players, Kevin Meisenheimer. We've got Noah. We've got guys that really want to just keep on competing. It is wide open right now, and we're going to play the best, whoever it may be. So I want to keep my job. We're going to make sure we're going to put them in the fire and see who comes out clean.
Coach, you know, do you have defensive players that are going to be good leaders for you, veteran guys that you can trust to lead that locker room and be outspoken and push their team?
We do, and that's the good thing about it. I mean, in the DB group, I think DJ Williams has proven himself to be a really good football player, and he wants to step up to be that vocal leader as well, and that was one of his big goals coming into fall camp. We're going to hold him to it, and I think you got Tipa Naliai. You've got our D-line got really good leaders. You got Tipa. You've got Chris Unga. You've got some guys that can really step up and do a really good job of just leading. And again, when it comes down to it, it's going to be about those guys in the trenches, because those guys are the guys that do all the dirty work. And of course, you get a little glamour with the DBs and backers, but we've just got to have guys that can just step up and. Devon, one of them, guys that just keep on leading, pushing these guys, Justice Tate, pushing these guys to be the very best. And I'm telling you, Tipa is going to put a lot of pressure on a lot of quarterbacks, and there's going to be a lot of errant throws because of that.
Talked to Teepa a little bit down at Mountain West Conference Media Day. How much of his presence can help other guys around him because he garners so much attention?
Oh, I expect the slide to go to him almost every time. So that opposite end's got to be productive, got to win the one-on-one. And then Devon Anderson, like I talked about beforehand, I mean, he's probably one of the most athletic D-tackles that I've been around. He'll be facing a lot of one-on-ones as a three technique, and he's got to win as well. So we've got some good tools. Now we just got to make sure we put them in the right places. And then, again, when it all comes down to it, it's players making plays and players winning games.
Talk to us a little bit about the assistant staff that you got around you, Coach.
Yes, great assistants here. Our outside backer DN coach is Bo Jake Fili Moyatu. Does things the right way. He's one of those tough coaches. He's a younger coach, but he's a tough coach that puts his guys to be the very best. Has great accountability from his players. I really love him. I think he does things the right way. We got Coach Anderson with our D tackles, which. I mean, Coach Anderson is the best D-tackle coach in all of football. I truly believe it. And just excited to have him. And then Al Lapuahu is our GA that helps him out with the D-tackles, which is a former Aggie great as well. He's a stud. And then we've got Mark Orfe at the corner position. Does a really good job. Came from Montana State. And then we have Mike Caputo, who was last stop was at LSU as a GA. And been around with Aranda forever, played for Aranda at Wisconsin. So a lot of good ideas coming together to give these kids the tools that they need.
Justin Enna, kind enough to join us, defensive coordinator at Utah State University. You know, the interesting thing about the Mountain West Conference, and I saw an interview with Gary Patterson at TCU, and he said, you know, we learned how to adjust defensively by being in the Mountain West, because you go from Air Force 1 week to maybe San Diego State that's running, you know, 10 personnel the next week. It's just everything is always different week to week. What kind of pressure does that put you on a defensive coordinator when there's so many different variations of offense within this conference?
You know, it gets you ready, that's for sure, just like Coach Patterson said. But at the same time, it's one of those things where you've got to be ready for it. You've got to make sure you prepare the players to understand it, not just the coaches. I mean, we're not playing anymore. So it's not what the coaches know, it's what the players know. So you want to simplify. You want to make things as simple as possible, as easy as possible, so these guys can play a million miles an hour and do assignment-sound football. So it does take a little bit of time, but that's why we're recruiting smarter players. I mean, you want tough, smart guys, and I think tough is always going to be on top of it, but smart guys, I mean, if you can't play with dummies. It'll get you fired. But that's why you're recruiting those kind of kids that have a good football IQ. You want them, of course, to have a good academic IQ as well, but football IQ is very important.
As I kind of evaluate the talent, and I know we've talked a little bit about Tipa Naliai, but I worry about his ability to set the edge, Coach. Is there something to that? Do you have to have back in? Do you have to have junk in the trunk, or can you set the edge with aggressiveness?
You know what? And I was kind of worried about that going into spring ball. And the way he can lower his hips, and he has such long arms, he can get that one-arm lockout. And if it's a better tackle, he'd probably have to do two arms. But he can hold that and just keep those guys off of his body just because he's so long and he's got so much natural bend in him. The 6'4", 6'5", guy that can bend like that, I mean, they don't come around very often. So he's done a really good job with that. He's also gained another 15 pounds from spring ball. So he's done a good job of doing what Jordan Hicks and also our nutritionist has told him to do. He's put the armor back on, so I'm excited.
How much does going up against that offense in spring and in scrimmages help your defense?
You know what? It helps us a lot. The tempo is lightning speed. They've done a good job with that. But Wake Forest right now, when we go play them, they're lightning speed. So there's a lot of carryover with Utah State's offense and Wake Forest offense. So we're excited to go against their offense, to be challenged, to be pushed, to be uncomfortable, because that's when you're going to grow the most. So it's been fun. Spring ball, there's been ups and downs, but there's been some good give and take, and that's what you're looking for. We just got to keep on pressing our guys to be smarter, tougher guys. So I'm excited for it. again, I'm excited that Wake Forest is a lot like our offense.
Coach, we've been talking a lot about the transfer portal this morning, and we've been going through different players that have transferred in to different universities or guys that are leaving universities. Are you dealing with any guys on the defensive side of the ball that you brought in off the portal?
Not that I can recollect right now. Most of the guys that we're dealing with right now have been on the defensive side, have been with us, or they were mid-year JC transfers.
Okay.
So we've been a little bit clean on our side offensively. Probably a little bit different story, but right now defensively, it's been the guys that we have with us right now, we have no transfer portal guys.
Is that by design, or is there? Are you going to try to steer clear of the portal?
No. No, if we need a good player hands, I'm going to make sure we do all we can. Okay. Whether I don't care where they come from. We got to win games, and we got to win games immediately. And right now, these kids have they've got the winning tradition behind them. They've again, you know, winning and losing is very. It's all about habits and doing the things that you need to do to be a winner or a loser. And right now, these kids, they're riding high right now. They are doing all they can to be the very best. And so. Which is nice coming into a program last January, and where these kids know how to win. It's a blessing.
I don't know what you can or cannot comment on, but obviously the portal is always you hear rumors of guys being on there. I guess overall, do you like the depth at corner? Are you concerned about your depth at corner going into camp?
You know what? We're always concerned with the corner position. I mean, that's by far the hardest position on the football field. I truly believe that. But I think we'll be okay. And if that's guys rotating from safety to corner or corner to safety, guys moving around, we're going to make it work and we're going to be okay. And I'm excited for our chances. Again, it's the next man up. It's always going to be that way. We want guys that want to be here. And we're going to win with guys that want to be here. So it's a challenge, but it's a challenge for everybody.
We just announced we do the top 60 and 60. We count down the 60 best players in the state. Announced DJ Williams today at number 23. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's a top 20 player in the state. What are your thoughts on what you've seen out of him already so far?
I love the kid. I think he's as tough as they come. He's a great worker. On and off the field. I mean, he's probably one of the last guys to leave the weight room, last guy to leave the field work. He's always trying to perfect his craft. And just a good kid from Smyrna, Tennessee.
Yeah.
You expect him to be a gentleman, being nice, all that stuff like that. You meet him in person, you're like, man, this kid's even better. So can't say enough good things about DJ on and off the field.
You know, we've seen so many different coordinators here in the state and so many different philosophies. And you brought up John Pease and when he came back to coordinate for that year and watching Morgan Scally, every once in a while you'll see changes in aggression in defensive play calls. Kalani Sitake and Itu Iaki, different strides and different aggressiveness. In your past experience as a coordinator, Coach Inna, do you find yourself being an aggressive dog, get after it in any down you possibly can, or do you play and feel like you may be more conservative and not wanting teams to get behind you?
You know what? That's a good question. It's going to be all about game planning and understanding what we have, what our strengths are per team that we're playing. I'm at Wake Forest right now, and moving on to Stony Brook, it's going to be really just game planning. I would probably consider myself a little aggressive, probably, but not overly aggressive. We will take what we can, but we'll also be smart enough to figure, you know, if we can play base defense a little bit longer, we're going to do that too. But, again, we're not going to sit there and wait for the offense to dictate everything either. So it'll be by game plan, but we like to impose our will as well.
Have you started into Wake Forest game film breakdown?
We have.
What are you seeing from them, Coach?
They're a good team. Again, very up-tempo, very RPO-orientated on the offensive side. O-line is solid. Running backs are solid. Wide receivers are very solid as well. A few Blazers here and there. But just a team that will just keep on chipping at you, keep on working, and if you're not stopping their run, they're going to keep on running. Yeah, I mean, we watched the Florida State game just a few weeks ago, and they were getting some big chunks for a while, and they understand they're gonna be successful at what they do the most. But then if you feel like you're kind of stopping the run, then they start doing a little bit more RPO, and then it becomes more pass. So they're a good team. They're a solid team. Again, them being the ACC, they've got some really good athletes, so we've just got to be prepared for them.
Coach, look forward to more of these conversations throughout the season. Thanks for your time, and enjoy camp. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be. Scotty, thank you. Hans, always good to talk to you, buddy.
You too, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Bye.
There you go. Justin Enna, defensive coordinator at Utah State.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.